Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
The first time I hear Dave Solomon's dulcet tones in the new year. That's fabulous. Oh, my. Just love the idea that here we are at 2012. This is the beginning of what promises to be an absolutely lovely and life-changing year. Let it be so. Now, you know what? New Year is full of promise, but look, you're going to have your challenges. I'm having one right now with the chat room. So, if you're coming on board, bear with me. It's going to be a fun show, at least. Some great music. Oh, my gosh. And I'm proud to say our first guest of this new year is new daddy, Tony Bunn. I don't think I have room on the planet to tell you all that Tony Bunn has done or who he has been in his 50-plus years. Suffice it to say that within the past 24 hours, he has just flown back to the outskirts of Copenhagen, Denmark, where he is seeing his brand new daughter for the first time. I talked to him this morning. He does not have a computer, so he is doing this merely by phone and trusting his good friend's judgment. That's his first mistake. Now, it'll be great. It really will. And we're going to kick things off mightily on this January 3rd, 2012, with one of the masters, Art Blakey and his Jazz Messengers, Come Rain or Come Shine, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Became my vine.
the world class that is Jackie Ryan. Oh, mercy. You'll see. From Doozy, which came out about a year and a half ago or so, more like 2 years now, a double CD that was number one for 7 weeks on the jazz charts. And there's no wonder. First of all, you got Cyrus Chestnut on piano. Oh, Eric Alexander, Romero Lubombo, Jeremy Pelt helping out. And then you've got a voice that Christopher Loudon from the Jazz Times describes as this: one of the outstanding jazz vocalists of her generation, and quite possibly of all time. Now, that is some kind of heavy praise. You want to see more about Jackie Ryan? It's JackieRyanMusic.com. She's going to be in Lucky, Colorado, Jazz Aspen Snowmass in March. And she's got some dates peppered through 2012. And I hope to gosh she comes back this way, Baltimore, D.C. She played in a little venue a couple of years ago. And we are still recovering from that in good old Harford County. And then she played the Baltimore Art Museum, and it was outside. So you can imagine summertime-like scenario, and Jackie Ryan's voice just hovering over the atmosphere. It was like seeing a goddess and hearing a goddess, and when you have that assault of your senses in such a pleasant way, you just carry that with you always. She is amazing. We heard, too, from the amazing saxophonist, the world-renowned Ray Gaskins, based in Baltimore. Thank you very much. And actually, there was a reason why I played Ray, not only because he's astounding, but also because on this particular CD, A Night in the Life, he has, among other folks that we know and love in the Baltimore area, Tony Bunn, who is our guest next hour. Tony Bunn, bass master extraordinaire, and on the other side of his brain, rocket scientist. We'll delve more into that, and I am not kidding when I tell you that Tony Bunn has had degrees in both math and computer. He went on to win an award at NASA for what he contributed to one of their satellites. Yeah, and he is also a bass player. So he was on this album, A Night in the Life, from Ray Gaskins, as was Daoud Said, who is instrumental in having music opening and music closing for the show, Marshall Booz, Robert Dupree, Ezell Jones, and Clayton McClendon. And then Ray also had a London-based team that helped him out on some tracks as well. This is a piece of work, A Night in the Life. And if we have time after our interview with Tony, we're going to play another track that seems to be one of the cooler things that we can play to welcome the new year. So there you go. Keep a bookmark in that thought. Art Blakey to start the set on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy from his 1958 Monin' CD, described as one of the 17 essential hard bop recordings that you could possibly have in your collection. Lee Morgan on trumpet, Benny Golson on tenor sax, Bobby Timmons on piano, Jimmy Merritt on bass, and Art, of course, on drums. This is the first album for Blue Note that Art did in several years. Come Rain or Come Shine was the only jazz standard on the CD. The rest of the original tunes on the album written by the great sax man Benny Golson, and we'll be hearing from Benny a little bit later on in the show. Let us turn our attention to someone else that Tony Bunn knows and loves, has worked with the Armenian-born Arshak Sarunyan many times. This is from Arshak's CD. What a piece of work this is. Tony Bunn is on bass on this, as is Wes Crawford, also a staple in the Baltimore, D.C. jazz arena. Arshak Sarunyan on piano, Midnight Mood on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Check it out.
know that I do. If you lend me your ear, I'll make it clear the way that I do. Let me whisper it. Let me sigh it. Let me sing it, my dear, or I will cry. Let me love you. Let me show that I do. Let me do a million impossible things. So you know that I do. I'll buy you the dawn if you let me love you today. And if that's not enough, I'll buy you the 1st of May. Let me love you. Let me show that I do. If you lend me your ear, I'll make a queen.
From the brand new CD, In the Moonlight, Sophie Millman, Let Me Love You. Oh, my gosh. You know, I had known a little bit about this gal, but I didn't know, first of all, her age. I didn't know her background. And the more I get involved in her voice, the more it's hard for me to believe that she's only 28 years old, first of all. And then to know the kind of background, which would have actually put a lot of people under as far as wanting to keep trying, because this girl had some hard times. She was Russian-born, spent some time in Russia. Her family moved to Israel, spent most of her childhood there, and they weren't by any means in what you would call circumstances that would have the comforts that we just take for granted. So Sophie turned to her dad's collection of music that he was actually listening to in communist Russia when they frowned on things like this. But there was a coveted jazz collection that Sophie just gravitated to, and she recalls that many times she was the entertainment in the family when they were in Israel. She would sing in the back of their beat-up car when they would take these little road trips. So then she moved to Canada, and she had her debut in 2004. She's quite revered in Toronto, but to do this CD, in the moonlight in New York was for her this enormous experience. She was scared to death, but she was excited. And she said that combination was pretty wonderful. So it turned out something like this. Six of the tracks have this orchestration that she found just thrilling. The CD is just lovely. And then on her website, Sophie Milman, MILMAN.com, she has something you can purchase called Live from Montreal. It's an EP with six live and two new songs. You can actually get it on iTunes as well. On the CD, Randy Brecker, and again from Jackie Ryan, Romero Lubambo. Woo! Just really nice, nice music. And Sound Doctrine was the middle song that we heard from Jerry B's wonderful Inspire CD, Sound Doctrine from Ohio. You want to know more information besides the fact that all you need to know, basically, is that Sound Doctrine has some CDs. One is called Perseverance. The other is called Endurance, and then Inspire. There are some other CDs you should know about. Nia Yana Recordings, because Jerry B is not only the drummer for his group, but also the CEO of his own company that takes care of a lot of other artists as well. Jerry B is in the middle of his 3-day fast for the new year. I can't wait to hear more about that. We heard the track Marriage, which is frequently on the Weather Channel. Matter of fact, it's a staple on the Weather Channel, a retooled version of the song. And I'm just talking to one of my good friends in the chat room here, and who knows what's on the agenda in 2012 for some of us. Wink, wink, nod, nod. Oh, my gosh, this year is so full of promise. And speaking of which, Arshak Sarunyan, from his CD Journal, we heard Midnight Mood featuring our guest, Tony Bunn, who's coming up in the next hour. Arshak has another song on that CD called To My Beloved Stranger. I interviewed him a couple of years ago at my old radio station, and he said that he was looking forward to seeing the person that he did not know as of that time who was going to become his beloved. Right now, she was just a beloved stranger. And sure enough, he met his Anna, and he is now engaged. So congratulations to Arshak. We heard Midnight Mood. And D.C. now has Armenian-born Arshak. We should make note of the fact that another track on Journal, Twitching Eye, got honorable mention in 2010 from the International Songwriting Competition that is worldwide. And Gabrielle Goodman has a quote here about Arshak. Gabrielle, the award-winning songwriter and vocalist, Berkeley educator, and sister to Tony Bunn, she said, there are piano players, and then there's Arshak. He is on a whole nother level. I agree. Somebody else who is definitely is Ken Navarro. Just had a little bit of a communique with Ken in the past 24 hours. He's got a brand new CD that you can purchase only on his website, The Test of Time, which is going to be available in stores in March. Right now, let's turn our attention to Dreaming of Trains and a song called The Buzz, this wonderful guitar and his excellent company, Ken Navarro, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Gosh knows Billy Joel's domestic partnerships haven't really panned out through the years, but when he chose folks with whom to duet, you can't go wrong with Ray Charles, can you? Oh, my goodness. From the essential Billy Joel, but actually that was from Billy's 10th studio album back in 1986, the last one produced by Phil Ramone, the one featuring A Matter of Trust. But that, ladies and gentlemen, was Baby Grand. Sure glad Billy had a chance to record with his hero, Ray Charles, who passed away in 2004. And my God, do some of us miss him badly, badly. Such good stuff there. Benny Golson, 82 years young, 83 on January 25th. God bless his heart. From The Touch, from a two complete original album set. Benny Golson and the Philadelphians and... take a number from 1 to 10. The first album was recorded in the late 50s, the early 60s, and what we heard was The Touch and On It, Freddie Hubbard, Art Farmer, Tootsie back there doing his thing. Oh, my God. Just hearing Benny Golson and just knowing that he was part and parcel of that Sonny Rollins tribute on the Kennedy Center just last week or so. Did you see that? If you didn't, it was just a buzz, because on the stage was Herbie Hancock and Jim Hall, Joe Lovano, Jimmy Heath, Jack DeJohnette, Ravi Coltrane, Billy Drummond, Roy Hargrove, and there were some old-timers on that stage with us, some newbies. It was just nice. Christian McBride did a nice job being the musical director and piecing that all together. Benny Golson. Oh, my gosh. And by the way, just so you know, Take a Number from 1 to 10 was sort of an experimental CD. Started out with one piece and then it grew for each track. Benny had some really wild imagination pieces through the years. And just, I can't say enough about what he did for bebop and hard bop and his contribution as a tenor sax man. Someday, some way, I'm going to get him on the show. Ken Navarro, we heard from, Dreaming of Trains and the Buzz, Test of Time, due in the stores on March the 20th? 20th, yes. And available now only on kennavarro.com. I am not sure about who is on the phone. I'm just going to take a wild chance and presume that it's Tony Bunn. I wanted to play a track, but it's all right. I don't want Tony to hang on this line from Denmark too long. Tony Bunn, oh my gosh. Can I just tell you the background that this man has had? I told you earlier, double degrees, math and computer science. Toured with Sun Ra, toured with Gene Karn, the two Chucks, Brown and Berry. Has an award from NASA for his contribution to a particular system within NASA that nobody else could configure, has been part and parcel of designing what we perceive of as the five-string modern base. Hopefully, he won't be too God-brotherish, and he will actually wax poetic about his own life and career in Copenhagen in the past 24 hours. I am not quite sure how jet-lagged he is. Tony, is this you?
Yes, it is. How are you? Hi, I'm in here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I didn't want you to hang on too long. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yep.
Okay.
I remember
cool.
that Benny Golson thing recorded. That was really cool.
Isn't that cool?
A lot of concept. Yeah, I mean, it sounded like it was from a long time ago, but the stuff he was playing sounded like extremely modern. So I was wondering, like, who that was and when that was actually recorded. Was it recorded in the 1960s or what?
Actually, 1960, 1961, and then on that same CD, because there's two of them combined, the other one, Benny Golson and the Philadelphians, was recorded in the late 50s. But, my God, he had some major players on that CD.
Yeah.
Now, listen, can you get a little closer to the phone? Because I'm not sure if you're far away or you're close to.
I've got a little microphone on. How's this? Is this better?
When you called earlier, you were a little clearer, and I'm not sure how we can fix that. If we can't, that's cool. I can live with this.
How is this? Is this better?
Yes.
Okay, I'm holding it up to my mouth.
Oh, that's even better. So, baby doll, new daddy et al., how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well, actually. It turned out to be a nice start to the new year, 2012. Happy New Year, if I haven't said that to you earlier. I've spent about 8 hours on a plane coming over here and stepped into 2 days' worth of nighttime because I forgot that the sun does not rise here until about 9 a.m., about 8:30 or 9 a.m. During the daytime. But because there's only about roughly 7 hours of usable daylight on a good day here, but it's been overcast the whole time, so I've kind of been in virtual nighttime here for like about the past 2 days, so it's really cool. So if I'm jet lagged, which I'm sure I am, I don't really know because I've just been waking up, seeing darkness, going back to sleep, waking up, seeing darkness, going back to sleep.
You know what?
Yes.
Tony, I'm really surprised. It's only, this would, if folks never experienced this before, it's quite a shock, but it's only 8 hours to get to Denmark?
Yeah, it's 8 hours to get here. It's a 6 hour time difference, and it's 8 hours to get here. 8 hours and a lot of money.
So it's six hours ahead from where we are. It's 3 p.m. Eastern time here. So what time is it there?
The God brother is in your future.
You're always in my future, God brother. But you are essentially like 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9 p.m., correct?
Yes, ma'am. 9 p.m.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's livable, and so will this phone connection be. Although, I just want folks to hear every word that you say because actually you have some pretty cool plans for 2012. Do you not, God brother?
Yeah. I don't quite know what they are at this moment though. I'm kind of jet lagged. We're planning on. How's this act? I've changed a little. I've pushed this cord into this connection a little bit more tightly. Is this better at all?
I'm holding it close to my speaker here, and I think it sounds better. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I got that.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
That sounds good. Now I can't see it here. Technical difficulties, folks. Hold on 1 second.
Okay, that's cool. We knew that there would be getting together as far as this is concerned because, my God, this is Denmark. Hello.
Yeah, there's always gremlins or something somewhere. But Yeah, I came over here around about this time last year on a business development mission, you know, trying to develop business. And business developed and also unexpected, but much invited business developed. And now I've got a little girl here who's got a very long name. She was born the day after my birthday, actually, on November 19th.
That's awesome.
And so now I'm continuing, you know, the musical part of my business development, which is firming up relationships so that we can spread, you know, the news of jazz and musics to come all over Europe and, you know, just start some new things and get some new and different things happening and bring back some old things and just have some fun with it.
We'll
see what happens.
Yeah, and I know that it's it's a little bit tricky to come back. I mean, you are newly back there, and I know that you're anxious to play music, but maybe I'm wrong. Do you just want to nest for a while before you spread your wings and fly again, or are you chomping at the bit for all of it right now, being a dad and also getting on the road again?
Well, the interesting thing that I've arrived at in the past few years is that it's usually about the music. I mean, music is more so my comfortable vehicle of expression. But what I found earlier in life is you got to have something to play the music about. If you're just playing the music for the sake of the music, it gets really boring really fast. So,
yeah.
You know, somewhere along the way, I decided to kind of live some life. And now life itself has gotten so exciting that you know, probably if I look at the instrument and start singing, you know.
I get it.
Yeah. So these days, I'm just enjoying the ride and you know, trying to hold on. I don't care too much for seatbelts, so I'm not fastening that. I'm just kind of going along for the ride, and, you know, if I fall off here, I fall off here. If I fall off there, I fall off there. I'm going to, you know, fall off somewhere and then get back up and roll with it. So, that's, once again, that's the plan.
Yeah, that's cool. And actually, I think that you may have been the first artist to ever have said that, which is crucial. If you don't have a life in order for the music to play, then where are you getting the inspiration for creating music if you're just playing all the time and not living other than the music? Then what kind of story do you have to tell?
Well, what also happens is you can get your inspiration from various sources. I mean, people obviously get inspiration from the works and lives of others. I mean, you have, you know, theme projects that are based on this and based on that. But and I'm no different, actually. I mean, I base a lot of, if not all of it, I do on the work of those who've gone before me, you know, no matter what that work is. But still, at some point, it has to emanate from inside of you for it to really be authentic. Otherwise, what you have is people who, when they're giving a musical voice to their inspiration, it doesn't quite really ring true because they don't know the material. If you have a person who's for example, I guess, writing religious music and they're really not in touch with Jesus, if they're writing gospel music or whatever, the music really won't ring. It really won't ring true, you know.
Yes.
As if somebody, you know, does a work on Leonardo da Vinci and they're actually even writing a book about him, but he really does not know the material. The material won't ring true. So the thing is, I've found is just to try to become as fully immersed in this life as I possibly can, and then let whatever comes out of me come out of me through music or through conversation or through this or through that. And I find out that, you know, in most cases, when I try to get into things, I get into them all the way. So what comes out of me is as about authentic as I can make it, because That's the approach, you know, it's just to embrace something that's real as it's real and take it into yourself, and then when it comes out of you as real as it was when it went into you.
Well, now, I don't know if I've ever asked you this question, and inquiring minds will not only want to hear this as we go live asking the question, but in archives, in future days, hearing about the God Brahma here. But honestly, what drove you to want to go a dual degree scenario, that kind of journey for math and for computers? And what got you into a scenario where you were patted on the back by NASA, and then you left that to go back to music? How did it start, like early and then delving into music, getting away from music, going into academia, pulling away from that? Could we have soup to nuts, please, Tony?
Well, the short tour is that when I got out of high school, I went on the road playing music for about 5 or 6 years, and was blessed to have kind of gotten onto a major circuit at the same time, not making major money.
So,
even though things went really well, it was really difficult for me to make a living. And whilst not making a living, I kind of got caught in a conundrum where I was going all these fascinating places and doing all these fascinating things and seeing things that I figured I took them for granted. You know, one minute I'd be in Sicily, the next minute I'd be in Finland somewhere, you know, playing all this music with all these great people. But when I would come back home and come off break, you know, I was still scrambling around trying to make a living and not quite doing it. And I got tired of that. The voices of the people who said, well, you know, you need to have something to fall back on. Somehow they found their way into my consciousness because I was kind of struggling to keep it together, having become a young adult. I think by the time I decided to go back to school, it was maybe about, I was at age maybe 20, I think it was 25 by the time I did that. 23 years old, 22, 23. And I always had a thing for mathematics, always had a thing for space and science and all that stuff. So I just, you know, I figured I'd go back and delve into computers to try to bring about some of this artificial intelligence stuff that I was kind of fascinated with, trying to, you know, learn how to make computers program themselves so that, you know, one day I could make the machine that takes over the world and kills us all. And thank God I never quite did that. But in the days that I started programming computers, computer science was still an adjunct of the mathematics departments because when I started programming, they still had punch cards and things like that. They were still feeding punch card programs into UNIVAC computers, and I think the TRS-80, the Radio Shack TRS-80, came out maybe in the second year that I was in school, and the Apple, the original Apple computer, I think, came out the second year I was in college. So it was way back then. So I was kind of forced to get, I was forced into mathematics. But once I got into it, I kind of fell in love with that too, and figured I'd add in that work. So I kind of got really deeply into both. And every time I got out, you know, just found out I enjoyed it. So after having done, you know, programming here, programming there, I kind of, after about, I think, 5 or 6 years of doing various programming jobs, I wound up in the aerospace industry and loved that. I loved the work to a high degree and seemed to have somewhat of an aptitude for it. But what happened with me was kind of the flip side of the coin after having been in a musical life is what happens in doing mathematics and doing science is there's like a delayed gratification. There's the feedback that you get from it is rather delayed. So you spend pretty intensive amounts of time kind of doing work on the back end, as say the musician does when a musician is practicing for 8, 10, 9 hours a day. But there wasn't that front end gratification that you get from having the interactive communication with either groups of musicians or with your audience when you're performing. So because I'd also become accustomed through playing, through having played music all my life,
right?
I've really become accustomed to that front end kind of feedback that wasn't present. And after a while, I started to find that I really wasn't getting the nourishment that I needed from banging my head into formulas and stuff all day, and that was nice. It was, once again, it was gratifying. There's a lot to be said for it, but I wasn't really getting what I needed out of it. So there was just something missing. So I decided to kind of find my way back to what it is that I think I do best, and we'll see how that works out. I don't know, but so part of that thing I was talking about, life thing, is we find ourselves at different places in ourselves when we're at different places in our lives. And I think one does oneself a disservice to really not respect that and take a chance and go ahead and find out where you are and who you are at whatever time you find yourself there.
Well, God knows a couple of things. First of all, people are really... Okay, now I lost you a little bit there.
Well, I can't hear you, Trish.
Oh, you can't hear me now? Because you sounded really clear there.
Okay, I can hear you, and maybe you can't hear me now. Hold on one second.
No, I can hear you.
Okay, I got you, I think.
Okay, I know that you're experimenting as you go, aren't you? You're you're tweaking as you go.
Yes, I'm pushing it in and out. Hold on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I guess, and even with music, I've always been kind of an oddball. I've always kind of had rather odd taste. And excuse me. So the challenge for me these days is to kind of take my little oddball appetite for music and try to wrap it in a package that will be somewhat universally accepted and somewhat palatable to a larger audience. Because once again, I guess one of the tricky things, particularly for jazz musicians, not just musicians in general, but for jazz musicians specifically, is a lot of times we're given license to go off so far off the page that we wind up just in territory that's only self-gratifying. Excuse me. And it really does. A lot of times jazz music kind of loses sight and loses focus of the fact that at the end of the day, even though music is an act of self-expression, it's an act of self-expression that one is asking someone to indulge them in, and asking people to join them through listening in their self-expression. So I'm trying my best to both respect the audience and appreciate the audience, because at the end of the day, it's going to be the audience who keeps you alive.
Yeah.
And I want to live a really long time. I'm planning on living to about 125 years.
Debbie Poole is in our chat room, and she said that she is she's still having problems hearing you from time to time. So I don't know what we can do. Maybe what we'll do right now is, because I'm anxious to play something from Small World, because that was my second point that I was going to tell you. Small World has done really well, and that was after a bit of a hiatus. Folks had not heard from you for a while. That's really captured some international attention. You know that.
Yes, it's actually been a blessing. That was the catapult that wound, that landed me in Denmark here, because what I decided after we released that recording was that it was a little bit more expansive than were the taste for the American market, with me kind of trying to reemerge as an artist, and I guess it was also, I can't really say that I was so much an artist in the way the term is used these days, because I really wasn't up front in the mix. I was kind of like the sideman bass player, and I was happy to do that. But being the sideman bass player, you know, and this and that, unless you really step up front and get doing it all, once again, one finds it very difficult to work. So I have to kind of devise a scheme where I could, you know, slap my name on the front of things and you know, be the captain that drives the ship and hopefully put together a thing where people would be as a happy being, you know, sidemen or brothers in arms with me as I like to do when I'm with others. And I think we're going a long way towards getting that together.
So, we've done
pretty well and doing, hopefully it's going to do a lot better. I'm hoping you're working on it. It's strangely enough, it's on the tail of Noah's Ark.
You're fading again. So if there's a possibility of you coming closer without any kind of like microphone or speaker, that would be cool.
Can you hear me now?
That's exactly right, because you're speaking directly into the phone now, aren't you?
Well, what I did is I took the earpiece out and the earpiece and microphone and I'm talking. Yeah, I've got this thing pressed up against my ear so I can hear you. But okay, as long as you can hear me, that's what works.
That's the quality of sound that we had this morning, and that's what folks in the chat room are wondering about. So cool.
Okay. Hey, folks in the chat room, hello.
Peter is here. Debbie is here. There's a couple of folks, and, of course, I totally respect anonymity, and they wish to be anonymous, and that's cool. So that's awesome. That makes all the difference in the world. Yay! Okay.
Good. Well, good things are going to happen in 2012 for all of us. You know, despite the fact that the Mayan calendar says it's the end of all days, I don't think that's quite going to happen yet, you know.
Yep. No. Although somebody pointed out, and this is cool. You may have said this, but then somebody else said it as well. There may be, and this was at a really cool gathering of folks, in a house in Baltimore, one of those great African American neighborhoods, where there has been a resurgence in development of these beautiful one of a kind row homes, and Robbie had this little get together for an open house on New Year's Day, and she lives in a house that is also an art gallery. So there's paintings of Josephine Baker. There's paintings of the old world, and it's just staggeringly beautiful. And somebody said that this year might be the death of some things that we have known, but it's also the beginning of a new world.
Yeah. Well, you gotta destroy. Creative destruction is the process by which all good things happen. You gotta destroy the old to bring about the new. So I'm always all for that. You know, self-transformation, re-transformation, and you get to a place where you think you like it, and then you find out it's time to do it again. And the whole thing is to not be afraid to do it again. Don't get too comfortable with that which you have, because it's all material things, and all these material things will pass. They will pass on to something new. You try to hold on to the past, and you'll get washed away with it. You will.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, and it's funny because there are some core friends that I have that are going through major new beginnings. Somebody that you know, as a matter of fact, Johnny Shaw and his wife are waiting for their adopted baby to come anytime.
That's great.
Yep. And then somebody else that you don't know but has been in my life for quite a while, he is leaving everything he's known on the Eastern Shore and moving to Austin, Texas. So that's radical. Some folks are getting engaged. Some folks who have been together for a long time are getting married and rethinking their friendships. It's really wild. 2012, just like you, is a year for radical change, baby.
Well, you know, the interesting thing that I've seen out here, just looking at the way things spin in this world, is it seems that the systems that are in control try to keep us fearful, you know, and by keeping us fearful as though this is going to be taken away from us or that's going to be taken away from us, then we tend to once again try to cling too tightly to those things that are here. And you know, if you have it in your hand, it's already a part of the past. You know, and the problem is to recognize that the change is a constant in this world, and you know, things are. I mean, if you can see it, it's already gone. You know, by the time the light hits, it's already been done. It's already cooked. Time to move forward. So the trick is don't fall in love with anything that you got that you're holding on too tightly to, because it's already gone by the time you've seen it.
Ah, Tony, come on. Come on.
David Law of Physics.
Oh.
Yes. It's already gone by the time you've seen it. By the time the light hits it, it's gone. You know?
Well,
maybe I'm getting too astrophilosophical for you.
Yeah,
we
want to hear happy talk from a new daddy who has just seen his little girl. You've just arrived now, and I know that seeing Nikki for the first time, I mean, I know that you have this universal love inside of you and you love everyone and everything, but didn't something go click inside of you where you go, maybe the God brother needs to examine this. Once you see it, it's gone philosophy, because I want to hold on to this forever.
I think I shared with you earlier in a previous discussion when I was testing the phone quality, that when I got off the plane having not been present for my daughter's birth and really wanting to see her coming into the world, but also really chomping at the bit to try to get over here to meet her before she started getting too old, and was blessed to be able to see her about a month and 3 weeks after she was born, I really expected for some reason there to be this big dramatic change that I was going to go through when I saw her. And that didn't happen. It was kind of fascinating for me, but not really, because I recognized that these days I'm just about sharing love, and she's here, and I'm glad about it, and hopefully she will stay here at least until I get to be 125, in which case I think she'll be like 40 or something like that. And the cool thing is despite my having held her and patted her back all these numerous times throughout the past couple of days, she has not thrown up on me yet. So that's really
wow, fabulous, fabulous.
I'm not going to throw up on you. She cries a lot and smacks a little nose in my shoulder, and then she was not too pleased about that. But we got past that, and all is well. But I think one of the things that I'm preparing myself for, because I've actually heard people speak about, well, just in terms of how, this girl's going to change your world, and just it's going to be such a great thing. And I expected this really seismic shift, you know. And once I see her, wow, you know, I guess I'm going to fall on my knees and start crying or do something like that. And it really didn't quite happen like that. We, you know, and got a coffee and a scone, and we got on the train and came up here to Devo because I didn't want to wake her up, and she was sleeping kind of soundly. And got back, you know, we were face to face, and she looked at me and she's wow, like, who's this guy? You know, I don't know. She was actually more so focused on this little picture of there's a black and white picture of Buddha that's on one of the walls in the house, and I think she was more so fascinated with the contrast and colors and that than she was with me. So, but there's a connection, there's a vibe there. But what I think will happen is that the process of transformation itself, I mean, no matter what it is, it's a lot more simple, and I think things change slowly over time. So probably it's the case that I'll, you know, be brought to my knees and wrapped around this little girl's fingers over time, and I'm all for that. You know, that's what it's all about. So.
Well, actually, the fact of the matter is that because you are the way you are, you've already felt the connection. I mean, you weren't there for the birth, but you have felt connected to her. So it's not a matter of not knowing and not seeing. You knew, and you were being kept informed. And then to see her, it was just like, oh, here she is. So,
The other beautiful thing about the connection between us is there's a meteor shower that makes an appearance in our skies somewhere around the end of November every year. It's called the Leonids meteor shower.
Yeah.
And with Nikki having been born within a day of me, we both are kind of, we came at the time of that meteor shower. So we're both star children in that light.
That is so cool.
Astral connection. Yeah, we did.
That's awesome. Well, give us the rundown. I wanted to play something short. I only want to play one song while I have you on the line so that you don't, fritter away your time without talking. So I wanted to play one of the shorter tracks that I have, which is from Small World, Martika's Delight.
Cool.
Tell me about the personnel so folks know who's playing on this with you.
On this tune is the remarkable and world-famous, world-renowned Dennis Chambers.
Yep.
On drums. There's Arshak Sarunian on piano. Mike Fitzhugh's playing trumpet, and I'm playing bass and all the rest of the stuff on that.
Cool. Well, we're talking to Tony Bunn, who, let me reassure folks, Tony Bunn is one of these amazing characters that is a consummate bass artist based in Baltimore, but now, having gone through this metamorphosis in life, is now based in Denmark. So it is whatever time it is. Here in Baltimore, it is 3:31. It's 9:31 p.m. in Denmark. So, and Tony is, I don't know, he's at least funky from an 8-hour plane ride to the outskirts of Copenhagen. So we're going to talk to Tony right after we hear this beautiful song from Small World on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Check it out.
Whoa.
Thank you.
Dunn on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, and something from a really very well-received, internationally speaking, CD, and it's called Small World. And I've seen through the past year or so, because it came out in 2009, I've seen different folks from different countries post what they think of the CD, not only on Facebook, but on other websites. And my gosh, Tony, if that's the case, if every one of those accolades that I've seen from folks singing the praises of this translate into money in 2012, you have nothing to worry about. Ida?
My name is Ida. I'm the Danish translator for Tony Bunn. Så jeg var i Rødby, fik jeg rød grød med fløde og rød kød i bare røv.
It's falling all over the floor over there.
That's fabulous. That's fabulous.
Yeah. She was telling you in Danish that I eat strawberry porridge with the cream down in some the name of some town that I can't pronounce. In my bare ass, actually.
So, so you didn't hear that, and you really must. I'm telling you, if the folks who have said how much they love Small World translates into money for 2012, you're going to be a rich man.
Oh, that would be good. Yeah. Well, yeah, to have money would be nice, because I got a baby.
I know.
And Lord knows babies in the modern world cost. So, yep, that would be a good thing. Yes.
Now, do you want to say who was on the line with us? Because one of the folks in the chat room went, what the?
That's Ida. That's Ida Nina. That's actually Mickey's big sister.
Gotcha.
My,
Ida Nina.
My translator.
Gotcha.
Yep. Ida Nina Denirgo. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Mickey's got
beautiful.
A very long name. It's actually I won't go into the whole tale of how her name came about, but she's got a name that kind of translates nicely into the new generation. It's Nikki Josefina Hosa Denirgo Bunn. And with Nikki Josefina, or excuse me, Josefina, I kind of still get twisted in these languages. of course, her name when shortened, she winds up being Nikki Yo, you know, so.
Nikki Yo, I love that.
Nikki Yo, yeah.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah.
Tell me, so folks know when they want to acquaint themselves with the rest of this project, Small World, where can they go to buy the actual music?
They can get it on iTunes. They can get it through pldmedia.com, which is a company based out of Sweden that has the hard copy CD available, and also has MP3 downloads. It's on iTunes. It's on what's the other one? Amazon.com. And they can also get it through me. You know, if they but of course, if they get it through me, they have to pay like four times what they would get it from anybody else. But because once again, I got a baby to feed. So we call jacking people here, right? It'll be worth it, folks. It'll be worth it.
No, it really is. And of the tunes, how many of the tunes on the project did you write?
I wrote by myself one of the tunes, which was this tune Got Me a Black Woman.
Oh yeah.
Co-wrote with Arshak Sarunian two of the tunes, Small World and Marika's Delight. Actually, they were both co-written by Arshak. Fourth tune was written by Paul Soroka. It was written by him and then named by me. I gave it the title, and then we kind of developed it and rearranged it and orchestrated it just slightly differently than he had originally done it, but I thought it was like a very beautiful melody.
And then the last tune
on the album, Palermo, named for Palermo, Sicily. And then the last tune is a tune by Tony Williams, who was originally with Miles Davis's quartet from the album back in 1964, a tune called Pee Wee. What's old becomes new again.
That's right. Well, you're living in the land of Dexter Gordon now. I mean, I can just imagine that kind of revered ghost is everywhere. I mean, I just love to hear the stories of when he played in Copenhagen, and it just makes me want to come and visit you really badly, Tony.
but if you come in the wintertime, dress warmly. But the
good
thing about things here in the summertime is the sun's up virtually all night. I mean, it sets probably about 10 o'clock, but it still looms in the sky till about midnight. Then it gets a little dark, and then at two a.m. you see the sun start trying to come back up again. But that's in stark contrast to what happens here in the wintertime, which if a person has a depressive illness, this is not the place to be.
Gotcha.
So they've got me on probation here because I was assuring people that I was going to bring the sunshine with me when I came. And I still got it in my back pocket. But if they treat me nicely, I'll let it out.
Oh, my gosh. You are so funny. Oh. Well, listen, here's something I wanted to ask you, too. I mean, because folks need to know. And Carenza Gray has just signed in, Tony. She is wanting to know more about. Yeah. And we've got our good friend Griselda from Texas who checked in, and she and the others wanted to wish you a happy New Year. So there you go.
Thank you, same to you and to you all.
Yeah.
God bless us, everyone.
God, Tiny Tim.
One of my favorite quotes these days. Tiny Tim. Yep, Charles Dickens' Tiny Tim from 1843.
And actually, I have to tell you, I just came across a Christmas card that my ex, who was T's dad, Tim, he sent this card to me when we were still together, and I have hung on to it because I love it so much. Here's the picture of Tiny Tim, and he says that quote, and inside it has, "Tiny Tim, as you might imagine, wasn't really happening with the ladies as he got older."
Well,
oh my God.
I'm not gonna touch that.
Yeah, I know. So how did you get together with Paul Reed Smith and do what you did with the modern day bass guitar that we have? Tell us that story, please.
Well, that's an interesting story. But the short version is that I was playing with Michael Urbaniak's band. Michael's extremely famous in Poland. And he actually made quite a bit of noise in the United States too. But in the 1975, 76 or something, I came across his music and really fell in love with it. And then when I got back from a tour with Sun Ra while I was in New York, something said, stop past Michael's house and play bass for him and get a gig with him. And who knew that when I did something so idiotic that stop by somebody's house I didn't know and say, hey, I'm going to play bass in your band. Next thing you know, 2 months later, we're going to Europe playing bass. I was playing bass in his band. But Michael played a five-string violin. He played a five-string electric violin. And Anthony Jackson, the bassist who played that track, I think he co-wrote For the Love of Money by the OJs.
Yeah.
And, he went on to do everything else. Well, Anthony Jackson had also played on Michael's recording, the one that I really fell in love with. And Mike and Anthony at the time had just developed the six-string contrabass guitar. But it was more so partly because my ear had become accustomed to, I really wanted to hear like a lot more deeper tones come from the bass, and I really liked the way organ sounded. So it was my intent to actually get a set of Moog synthesizer bass pedals and play these bass pedals on Michael's gig, but his music was so demanding that something said, I got to come up with a better solution. So we were coming back from I think we were coming up from a week in Florida that I think when Kenny Kirkman first got in his band, we went down to Florida for about a week. As we were coming back up the road, we stopped in Annapolis. A friend told me about Paul Smith, and I stopped in to talk to him about building this instrument. And he first built me an 8-string fretless bass, which was a really beautiful instrument. It sounded great, but its character was so unique that it really wasn't as flexible as I had originally intended it. So I got limited use. But after he developed that, something said, "Whoa, let's do a 5-string instrument because that would give me the depth that I need, and it also would be kind of usable throughout the whole spectrum of whatever music it is that an electric bass can be applied to." So this was kind of like in the beginning of 1976, and that's the long and short of it. And actually, Paul and I are still friends to this day, And I'm thrilled to see that his whole operation has gone on to be immensely successful as it has.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, and I need to get you to say this again, just in case folks didn't hear it the first time around, because you gave us a semblance of the information. But so you can flesh out all of who Tony Bunn is as far as being a musician and someone who has had a strong hand in designing and changing the face of bass instrumentation. Tell me about this NASA award, because you and I have never spoken about that because we get far deeper into other stuff. But how did that come to pass? Because I'm dying to know.
Well, NASA had this, they had a series of satellites that I think is still in operation. That are Earth-observing satellites, wink, wink. So there's the TESS satellite, and there's the sister satellite to it, which was AQUA, which was launched a little bit later. But I came on to working at NASA. Actually, before I worked at a contracting company, worked at NASA, I was doing kind of command and control systems for commercial satellites with a company called Storm Systems that was down in Herndon, Virginia. But because that ride from Baltimore to Herndon got to be a little bit tough on me after about 4 or 5 years of doing 2 hours, hour and a half one way, or trying to drive like about 80 miles an hour around the Beltway without getting a ticket to get to Herndon from Baltimore every day.
Wow.
Back and forth. So there was a company that was starting up where some people who left Storm to go there had gone to work with this other contractor. So, when I started working there, we kind of became the darling child integrator of this project. We happened to kind of pull things together. And I guess, probably because somewhat of my personality, we wound up being kind of in a key position there, mostly because I just like to talk to people. So I would be the one who would run around talking to everybody and talking this and that. And I wound up kind of being the glue boy, so I kind of glued everything together and glued these people to those people. And at the same time, I was still doing the work. I mean, I was doing, all the integration program. But I did, so we did that project, and I think the reason that the award was given is because I think like many NASA projects, at least like the unmanned projects, it fell like maybe a year or two behind schedule. But we kind of hung in there and pulling rabbits out of hats and doing this and doing that. So they liked what we did.
I knew that you would be humble. I wish there had been thousands of dollars
attached to it. Huh?
I knew that you would be humble about this. I knew that you would explain it in this way. You crack me up.
If there had been millions of dollars attached to it, or at least hundreds of thousands of dollars attached to that award, I wouldn't have been so humble. I'd be like, yeah, we took that money and ran. But the other thing too is that like most things in this life that are of any value, it was a team effort. I mean, there were hundreds of people working on that project, and if anybody had dropped the ball at any time, you know, the whole team's effort's gone down to two. So I was just, you know, I was a happy player on the team that worked to produce something that came to fruition. So.
Well, the point of this is that hardly anybody else that I will talk to, and certainly no one before you, is able to say, as well as being one of the best bass players on the face of the earth, you were also a rocket scientist. So this is my whole point, Tony. And then,
and well, I'm also the godbrother, right?
The godbrother, of course. And
that
is penultimate these days. Oh, my God. Oh, you are such a trip. So can you I know that you're speculating about possibilities for 2012. Is there anything that you can say about concrete plans for a tour, or is it all just kind of fuzzy right now?
Well, we came to the table late. We were trying to put together a tour package for February so that we could bring some sunlight to the people here in Europe, Northern Europe, while they're in the dark season. And we got to the table a little bit late with that package. So even though we got to go ahead from Dennis to tour with us and do that, that we once again we got there late, a little bit too late for the booking people. So what we're going to do is carry that forward, carry this unit forward through the summer and the fall of 2012. And I've also begun working on a new recording project, which I don't know if you heard me before when the phone was cracking up or whatever. But it's kind of based on the tale of Noah's Ark, because there's been a lot of water that visited the world this past year. I mean, with that flood that hit in Japan, I think, which hit 2 weeks after I came here in 2011. There was the earthquake and the flood that kind of washed away, you know, I forget what section it was in Japan, but when they got hit.
Yeah.
And then strangely enough, right before I came back to Copenhagen in the summertime, I think on July 1st, there was a major flood in Copenhagen, I think one of the biggest in 100 years, and it totally washed out the city. So rain and floods have been kind of recurring theme, at least in the past year. So that moved me to kind of start doing some other background work or at least on the concept anyway, and to flesh out the basis or the theme for this next recording. So it's going to hopefully it'll be as interesting as it feels. It feels like it's going to be a pretty interesting project, and hopefully it pans out that way.
Good. I'm excited about that. This is the first I've heard of this. This is good news.
Yeah.
Yay. Wow. Well, I don't know what your circumstances are or how long you can stay with us on the phone, but I thought I'd keep you a few more minutes, if that's okay.
It was my pleasure.
Okay.
Yeah. Would you like to talk to my translator again?
Oh, please. No, this is so cool. And that's what I'm, you know, because the kids are home or not, and I don't know if you want to spend time with them because you're newly back there.
Yeah, well, so, I'm a bit road whipped, so I think I'll take my leave in a few moments. But I'm glad to have been able to be on your show. I guess this is the first show of 2012, so I'm psyched and excited.
Yeah. Listen, you were absolutely the only choice to be on this first show because
let me go smack this little baby. Let me go smack this little baby in the head and see if I can get her to gurgle for you. Wait, hold on.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
I'm good at making her cry.
Oh,
let's
stop
see if
it.
I can make you cry. Hey, Nikki, you want to cry for Daddy?
Hi, Nikki. Hi, Nikki.
She's asleep?
Oh, my gosh.
She says she's not interested.
That's okay. Tony, does she look like little you?
Yeah, what I'll do is I'll post a picture up on my Facebook page of us together sometime tomorrow. Actually, I've got to get the internet connection a little bit more firm up here. We were having some problems with it for the past day. We just got that set up, so. Somewhere tonight, early tomorrow morning, I'll post a picture of us sitting there sticking out our tongues and saying hi and happy New Year to everybody.
So you're saying that where you are, the internet will be up and running again?
It was an internal problem. There was
a cable
that was cut. Yeah.
So okay.
It's now been fixed, and I just haven't gotten online because I have kind of waking up and seeing it be nighttime for the past 48 hours and just going back to sleep and going like, wow, it's still night. So, once I get my wits about me after I go back to after this conversation for about another 2 hours, and I'll wake up and get on the internet and try to get little Nikki up and get her away from the boost water and. You know what that is, right?
What?
Boost water. That's the Danish word for nipple. It's breast wart. really cool language, right? That's all little babies do is they eat and they sleep, you know? Really cool.
Okay. You know, now that you're on this subject, and I see that somebody is waiting to probably speak to you, so I'm going to put this person on the phone. But I'm going to just keep you for a couple more minutes. As long as you've just said that, could you explain to folks what you posted on that new jazz page on Facebook about the origins of the word jazz?
Oh, wow. That's cool. Well, I mean, it's perhaps not a secret, but in particular in U.S. culture, U.S. culture has a problem with talking about bodily fluids in particular, semen being one of them, perhaps because of where it comes from. But the term jazz, which a lot of people in the old days kind of took deference, they just did not like it. I'm having a problem finding words here. But they didn't like this term because jazz came from the term jism, which came from the term jazm, which was, in addition to it being a term for energy or whatsoever, it was a slang term that was used for semen, actually, is what it was. So
gotcha.
Semen, that's jizz or jazm or whatever it came from. And so jazz was kind of, you know, sex music or slang music or, you know, black music, race music, or whatever terms that were attached to sexuality. And people have always, well, at least the mainstream media, anyway, has always had a problem with describing things of such a nature. But, yeah, one must admit that the jazz music definitely energizes people. So,
yeah. I love that. You really stunned a lot of people when you posted that, and I thought this is fabulous because folks are a little bit too snooty sometimes about jazz, and they have to understand the earthy context that it originated. That there are origins, there are feelings involved here, and once you start to make something a little bit too cerebral when it's supposed to be something that everyone can enjoy, you know, it starts to get very frustrating. So I hear you.
Well, that's what happened somewhere, I guess, in the, you know, in the late 1950s or whatever, and the 60s, is I think jazz music was finding its way back to the people. Because originally it was, you know, it was dance music. Originally it was derived from the blues, and it was very much so dance music and party music. I mean, you know, there's Cab Calloway and Louis Armstrong and all these other guys who pretty much did music of the people. New Orleans music, you know, was music of the people. Even though, the other term was a lot of times, well, the other way that term for jazz came about is it was said that, you know, jazz music was played in the whorehouses in New Orleans. So once again, there's that association with sex and sexuality and the senior side of life. But moving into, you know, once we moved into the 50s and the early 60s, somehow jazz kind of got taken out of that sphere, and they tried to make it so sophisticated, and perhaps so that cerebralization of it was part of that trying to sophisticate it, that they kind of took it out of the sphere where people could very easily and readily associate with it or apply it as being meaningful to their lives. So but the good thing is these days it's a world music. Some type of jazz is going to touch every part of at least, you know, or any part of somebody's life. So So I guess that's why you got hybrid jazz thing going there, darling. And you know, now you live long and proud with it.
Well, you know that this has been a long time in coming, and I'm excited for you because you get to be around now if you have time, if you carve out the time, but the global interpretation of what some folks hold close to their hearts, not just in the States, but where you are, their interpretation of jazz and how personal and passionate it is for people that you hear in Denmark, that's fascinating. I mean, you've heard that some folks play music that are Danish people playing music. Isn't that cool?
Oh, yeah, they've got some monsters over here. Well, these days, the European jazz scene is really well-developed, and in many cases, the audience here is a lot more forgiving of people's, you know, efforts to experiment with sounds. So in Europe, you'll hear things that you would never hear in the United States because people just won't be allowed to play them in front of an audience in the United States. So yeah, you hear lots of good stuff here, but because so many people have been coming from the United States to Europe for like the past 30, 40 years and doing whatever it is they can do here and finding some appreciation from the audience, the breadth of the music that you can get here is much more developed than it is there in the United States. This is the place to be, and this is where it's happening, and this is where I'm is.
Wow. I'm excited for you, God, brother. I am. I know it's going to be great because you're in a very peaceful place, and this is where the fertile ground. And there I go back to that whole jazzm thing. This is where the fertile ground is for you be really, really creative. You know that.
Yep, and hopefully God smiles on all of us to let that happen. That's the main thing is nothing happens without universal approval. So once the universe approves it, then we good to go and we cleared for takeoff.
I hear that.
Prepared.
Now, before I let you go, tell me how many tracks you played on the Ray Gaskin CD, Night in Your Life, Night in the Life.
Well, there's two different versions of that CD. There's the one that he originally released independently, and then he licensed it, and I think there were some additional tracks. But on the original release, I'm at least on 8 or 9. I think I'm playing bass on every track that there's not a synthesizer bass. So I don't quite remember how many tracks are on that recording, but anything that's got a bass guitar on it is me playing bass guitar.
So were you on the, without giving away the title, were you on the New York song?
On the what now? I didn't hear what you said.
Were you on the, I don't want to give away the whole title, were you on the New York song?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was me. Yep.
Okay. All right. Because
yeah,
I don't have it in front of me. I am absolutely awash in CDs, and we've just experienced the holiday season. So I have CDs spread all over this house, and I can't get to the credits. So I'm asking you that.
Yeah, I'm on everything except, once again, there's a tune, When I Fall in Love, which was the tune he had already done. He'd already recorded that before he spoke to us about recording an album, but he was working on the album at the time. He had done When I Fall in Love, which had synthesizer bass on it. And there's a tune really that I wish I had played on, a tune he wrote called Never Say Die, I think it is, that I really like. I like the feel of it. But he'd already had that completed, and he had what he liked on there, so I figured, okay, chalk that up to whatever it is. But everything else on there that has bass guitar is me. Now, once again, I don't know about the re-release of his recording, and once he licensed it, I think he added more tunes. And because I don't have a copy of that recording, I don't know what to say about that. But if there's anybody on there, you know, who if they sound good, say it's me anyway. You know, and if it's not me, it should have been. So.
That's my Tony Bunn, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, well, I'm going to let you go to to snuggle up to and emotionally do whatever you do with Nikki. God help that little girl. God help her.
Yeah, we're
both
going to be in trouble.
I know. Oh, my gosh. So we're looking forward. We already got the word from Griselda here on the chat room. She wants to see that picture. So make sure you take that picture and post it.
All right, I will do.
Okay.
As soon as she wakes up for her midnight meal, I'll snap a photo. Yeah.
You are a trip. Well, God bless you, sugar. I'll miss you, but I know you are supposed to be where you are supposed to be, and I'll see you sometime in 2012, that's for sure.
Oh, God be willing. No question. Yeah. Well, it's my pleasure, Trish. I'm glad we caught up. I'm glad the universe conspired to let this happen, you know?
Yeah, me too. Love to the family, and you take care of business, and anything that I can do, you tap on my shoulder anytime, and I'll handle some business for you.
You know what's funny about the Danish language? They say hi to say, like, as a greeting, to say hello, and then they say hi to say goodbye. Isn't that kind of goofy? That's goofy. So, anyway.
But you like
hi,
it, though.
Hi. Yeah, I do. I love it. Hi. So... So I'm going to say hi, and much love to you and all yours and everybody listening. And,
all right.
May we all get through
this
coming year alive and well, you know?
Yes, we will. And God bless you, and we'll talk to
you
soon, and everything will be well.
All right. Peace, and I'm out.
All right. All right. Now, listen, I had to let that poor man go because he just, honestly, he just had that flight. Like yesterday, and he's been in darkness for the past few days because there's been no daylight in Denmark. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure that you hear a couple of tracks from Small World so you can get your mitts on the music. You can find it on Amazon, CD Baby, iTunes. It's an EP. There's about 6 songs, I believe. So this is one of those tunes that you need to hear because it's just so unearthly beautiful. I'm going to play 3 songs because we've got time. And on all 3 of these tunes, Tony Bunn is playing bass, the same guy who got the award from NASA for his work on a satellite system, the same guy who devised the modern-day 5-string bass guitar, okay? I'm just saying, this is what this man has done, including a tour with Sun Ra in 1976. He could write a book about just that year and has played with a lot of folks. Chuck Brown, Chuck Berry, Gene Karn, it goes on. So here we go. Tony Bunn on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. This is Palermo from Small World. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
In a New York state of mind. I've seen all the movie stars in their fancy cars and their limousines. Been high in the Rockies and in the Evergreens. But I know what I'm seeing. Don't want to waste more time. I'm in a New York state of mind. With a man, but now I need something to keep and take. Come to your time, the daily news. It comes down to reality, and it's fine with me, cause I'll let it fly. Don't you come back no more.
Character Ray Gaskins right there. Yes. From A Night in the Life, New York State of Mind, Billy Joel song. And we heard Billy Joel and Ray Charles in the first hour, and I played Ray Gaskins to tie things up because Tony Bunn was playing bass on that track, and most of the others from Ray's CD. Ray Gaskins and Tony Bunn go way back together, and it was really cool. It was like a homecoming for a lot of folks, including this man that you hear right here, Daoud Said, who was also playing on that album. Tony really called that EP what it is, right? Small World. We heard two tracks from Tony, and one of them was the title track, Small World. The other was Palermo. And we also will make note of the fact that on the CD was Arshak Saranyan on keyboard, who we heard last hour, and let's see, Dennis Chambers also on that, and actually Kevin Walker. Oh, I just heard 90 seconds in my ear. Kevin Walker was also on that CD, and one of these days we'll get Kevin Walker to be a guest star on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Enjoy your Tuesday, or whenever you hear these archives. Thank you so much to the folks in the chat room, Carenza and Griselda and Debbie and the folks who will go nameless. God bless you all. We are booked throughout the month of January. Keep looking on Facebook to see who is going to be on next. God bless you. Thanks for being there. We'll talk to you soon.